Right after wishing everyone a Shavua Tov. These are the pages, if you'd like. We're studying Parshas Pekudei. And the Parsha begins, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. So we're going to try to focus on the words Pekudei HaMishkan, what that means. Mishkan HaEdus. And what we want to study today is the Sfarno. The Sfarno is a commentary on the Torah that needs to be studied carefully. And you can't read the Sfarno just superficially. And it's a lot of work to go through the Sfarno and try to understand the Sfarno. But that's what we're going to try to do today. And it's going to be a challenge. But by way of introduction, I just want to mention that the Mefarshim have a lot of problems with the Parshios that begin with Truma and go all the way till the end of Sefer Shmos, till Pekudei, because the Torah seems to repeat over and over again the divine commands to build the Mishkan. And the question that the Mefarshim face is why all this repetition over and over again? And the Netziv, who's Rosh Yeshivat Volozhin, and he wrote a commentary on the Torah called the Emek Dovar. He claims that basically there are five different stages, each of which is addressed in the Parshios from Truma until the end of Shmos. The first stage is the Tzivui, the command to build the Mishkan. Stage number two is the building of the Mishkan itself. Stage number three is the Kalim of the Mishkan. That means to bring the Kalim of the Mishkan in front of Moshe and get his approval. And number four is the building of the Mishkan, the command to the building of the Mishkan. And number five is the actual building of the Mishkan. So based on these five sections, the Netziv tries to explain that there's no repetition here. Just the you have to know these five stages. Okay. That's just in the background. What are we going to study today? What's our main focal point? There's a word in the Torah that is very select. It's chosen deliberately. And we want to understand what the significance of that word is. Okay? That word is called Shem in singular, of name, and Shemos in plural, names. Okay then? And what we're going to see is that there must be a significance to the fact that the Torah delineates Shemos and tells you these are the names of. And the Sfarno, in the first paragraph that you'll see, is interested in addressing the following question. The Torah, at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, says, U'b'shemos tifkidu eskol esklei mishmeres masa'am. So there's a connection here between the Kalim of the Mishkan and the Shemos, because the Torah says U'bishmos, U'bishemos tifkidu. And if you have a Chumash, you'll open up to this pasuk to keep it inside, you know, keep it open in front of you. Whoops. Okay, we'll leave that there for a minute. I'll get back to it later. That's what happens when I didn't get a chance to organize myself before the Shia. But if you take a look in Bamidbar Perek Beis, I'm sorry, Perek Dalet, it should be. Thank you. Perek Dalet. the end of Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, Uveshemos tifkidu es klei mishmeres masa'am. And what the Torah is describing here is the breakdown of Shevet Levi into three major parts. That's the subject of the first section in Parshas Noso, three major families. And each family of these three was in charge of its charge, I guess you could say, in charge of its charge. I don't know, that sounds a little repetitious. But its charge of the particular clay HaMishkan.
What their functions were.
Correct, and their functions in terms of the clay HaMishkan. What were their responsibilities? Okay, so for example, if you take B'nai Merari, they were in charge of the Karshei HaMishkan, the Brichov, Hamadov, Adonov, etc., etc. Now, why the emphasis on Shemos? That's what I think is the subject of this Sfarno. So we're going to see that the Sfarno is going to divide the, shall we say, the discussion of... When we talk about Beis HaMikdash, correct? And we start with Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. And then we go on to Shlomo HaMelech, and then finally Tezra and Nehemiah. How many Bati Mikdashes do we have?
Two.
Well, if you start with Moshe, so you have the Mishkan, that's the first Beis HaMikdash. Then you have another two, which is Shlomo and then Ezra. And then finally we'll have in Mirtz Hashem, the Bayis Shlishi. Now in between we have other Bati Mikdashes. You know, we have one in Shiloh, and one in Nov, and one in Givon, and so forth and so on. But those are the primary four, we could say three in the past and one in the future. Now let's focus on the three of the past. And if I would ask you the following question, there's a word in Lashon Kodesh called Netzach. What does Netzach mean?
Permanent.
Another word? Can I push you for another word?
Infinite.
Yeah, infinite. Eternal. Eternal. That would be my key word.
Eternal.
Eternal, with an E.
Oh, eternal.
Eternal. Not internal, but eternal.
Eternal.
Okay. So if I would ask you about these three Batei Mikdashos, starting with the Mishkan, and then that of Shlomo, finally the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, which, if any, would you say is eternal?
None of them.
None of them, right? The concept of Netzach would not apply to any of them. Now, there's another concept which is similar to Netzach, but stands in contrast, and that's called Ludoros. What does Ludoros mean? Sometimes the Torah tells us a story that's only relevant in its moment, in its time. The Torah might command someone to do something, but that command is only l'shah, for that moment. It's not l'doros. It's not included in the Taryag, in the 613, which are l'doros. Okay. Now, the question I want to address with you today is, does the Sfarno agree with our premise that none of the three Batei Mikdashos, starting with the Mishkan and the Midbar, none of them are l'netzach. None of them are eternal. So let's read the Sfarno inside. For those who want to follow me inside, I have a copy for you of the Sfarno. And this is the Sfarno's commentary at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. And he says the following. It's on the pasuk that starts this parasha, which is Elep Kudei HaMishkan. And he says the following, Kol Echad Michelke HaMishkan Haksuvim Lamala Heim Osam HaPkudim Shenemar Aleihem Ubeshemos Tifkidu Es Klei Mishmeres Masam V'gome Biadi Tomar. He says the following. Here, at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, the Torah uses the word Pekudei, which we'll see again in Parshas Noso in Sefer Bamidbar, when the Torah says, Ubishemos tifkidu, again the same word tifkidu, in a different conjugation albeit, but it's the same word pkude.
Pkude.
And here in Parshas Noso, the Torah writes, Ubishemos tifkidu. And the emphasis is the word on Shemos. Now, what does Shemos have to do with the parts of the Mishkan? Classically, when you give a name, who do you give a name to? A person or an object? Do you follow my question? A person is called by name. Usually, the Kalim are not mentioned by name. And if they are mentioned by name, the Torah, according to the Sfarno, does not have to call them Shemos. Because again, as we'll soon see, the word Shemos in the Sfarno's frame of reference has additional significance. So you and I might call this a table, but the Torah didn't have to go out of its way to say a shame regard to the table, unless by adding the word shame, it gives it a certain significance. It upgrades it in its significance. So for example, we find that there are three mishpachos of the Levim, and that's Gershon, Kohath, Umerari. Each one is in charge. That's the Lashon Hufkidu over here, right? Tifkidu. They're in charge of, they supervise each one of these three families, specific Kalim. And the Torah just could have said, Ubekli Mishmartam Masam Tifkidem. The Torah could have used the word Ubekli Mishmartam or Klei Mishmartam. Once it says Klei Mishmeres Masam, why did it have to say Bishemos Tifkidu? What's the emphasis on the Shemos? And it sounds like the Torah is giving a great deal of significance to each one of the Kalim, giving it a specific name, Bishemos Tifkidu. Now, on the side, I want to mention that Rashi and the Ramban and other Mefarshim in Pekude, they suggest that the word Pekude is to be taken to mean Minyan. Minyan means counting. So why is the Torah starting our Parsha Ela Pekude HaMishkan? Because now, in the rest of this section, the Torah is going to count up the various contributions of Zahav and Kesef and count them. For example, if you fast forward to Pasuk Chav Dalet at the beginning of our Parsha, Parsha's Pekudei, it's going to say, Vayihi Zahav Atnufa Teisha V'Esrim Kikar. Now, it's how much Zahav, how much gold was actually brought for the building of the Mishkan. It's 29 Kikar. That's a weight of gold. And then it goes on to go through Kesef, and so forth. So Rashi and the Ramban would interpret the word Pekude at the beginning of our parasha as the counting. And we're counting the materials and weighing them in order of their significance for the purpose of the Kalim, for the purpose of creating those Kalim that were used in the Mishkan. But the Sfarno has a different interpretation of the word Pekude. Pekude refers to the job, the function. What are the jobs of each and every one of these Kalim? And therefore, according to the Sfarno, the word Pekude has a relationship to the Pasuk in Parshas Noso of Bishemos Tifkidu. In other words, the Pekida, meaning the job or the function of each one of the Kalim, is connected to a shame. And the shame is going to tell you something of great significance about each one of these Kalim. And we have to see what that secret is. You know, the Sfarno is going to have to reveal his cards here and tell us exactly why the word Shemos was used to describe the Klei HaMishkan, each one having its own function. And he continues and he writes the following. Vizeh, meaning the meaning of the word Shemos, ki kol Echad Mehem, every one of the Kalim, which was again given into the charge of Itamar, who is in, you know, in, he would supervise and make sure that Bnei Gershon and Bnei Merari would take care of their Kalim. Hayaroi Lios Nechshav, we wanted, the Torah wanted to give Chashivus to each one of the Kalim, Uli Kare Bishem, and it should be called by the Torah's word Bishem. Ba'asher huzeh ha'prati, because it is singular, lo bilvad ba'asher hu mizeh ha'min. Right? In other words, even though it's part of the general concept of Klei HaMishkan, but it has a specific purpose and a specific name. So you have a general category which you would call Klei HaMishkan, and now each Keli gets its own Shem Prati, its own specific individual name. It's like, for example, if I could give this mashal, you would call all of the human beings on the face of the earth mankind, and then each individual person has his own name. There's Reuven, and there's Shimon, and there's Levi. So too, there's Klei HaMishkan in general, and then each Keli has its own shame, its own prat, its own individual identity, so to speak. Lo bilvad basheru mizeh hamin. V'kolshken shet sadak zeh, and how much more so this is justified, I'll call echad miklei hakodesh asher b'masa b'nei kahas. Now again, if you go back to Bamidbar, here you want to fast forward to Kahas. Kahas is a little bit later on in Perek Zion of Bamidbar, Pasuk Tes, and there it says, Ulivnei Kahas lo nosan ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bekasev yiso. They were in charge of carrying the Aron. And what was inside the Aron? The Lukos HaBris, correct. And therefore, the Bnei Kahas, amongst the three branches of Shevet Levi, had the most outstanding and significant responsibility relative to the other two families. And they used to carry the Aron. Now, whatever was carried by Merari, whatever was carried by Merari and... not Kahas, we'll get to Kahas in a minute... But Gershon Umarari, those Kalim were carried by what? Anybody know? By wagons. Agalot. Not so in the case of Kahas. They didn't have Agalot. Because the Pasuk says, Bakatef Yisoh. What does Bakatef mean? Directly on the shoulder. This is all indicative of the fact that the Shevet, that within Shevet Levi, Kahas had the most outstanding responsibility. They were in charge of carrying what? The Aron. And the Aron had to be directly on their kotev. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says, Zos avodas b'nei kohas b'ol moed kodesh hakadoshim. It's interesting. The description of b'nei kohas and their work is back in Parshas Bamidbar. This is Bamidbar Dalid. Pasuk Dalid, Zos avodas b'nei kohas b'ol moed kodesh hakadoshim. What's the kodesh hakadoshim referring to?
The Aron.
The Aron, correct. Because their responsibility was the Aron. Rashi over there in Parshas Bamidbar expands it. He says that the Bnei Kahas were in charge not only just the Aron, but also the Shulchan, and the Menorah, the Mizbechos, the Paroches, the Klishares. Basically, Kahas was the most significant of all these three families of Shevet. Of Shevet Levi. Let's go on in the Sfarno. Vilazeh. What's the significance of giving a Shem Prati, a specific name, to each one of the Kalim of the Mishkan? Lo Nifsidu. What does that mean, Rabbi Osai?
They'll never disappear.
They were never destroyed. They were never lost. And the Sfarno is going to go very far with this. He's going to say that the Kalim of the Mishkan were eternal. Now we have to see whether he means physically or spiritually. It sounds like he means it physically. Because if you take a look at the next line, he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Yoma. This is towards the end of the Masechta. Ki Amram Zichrona Livracha, as they have said, Shema Tomar, you might think, Oved Savram Ubatel Sichuyan, that we no longer have the Kalim of the Mishkan. Talmud Lomar, the Gemara wants to derive from a pasuk back in Parshas Truma. There it says, Atze Shitim Omdim, that the Mishkan was made of planks of wood, Omdim. Now, literally, what does the word Omdim mean?
They stand up.
But that's not how the Gemara understands it. Omdim means that they will never be destroyed. Sha'omdim li'olam uli'olme olamim. That the Mishkan that Moshe built, together with, of course, Bezalel, reach the level of Olme Olamim. In English, one word? Eternity. Correct, Netzach. It means that according to the Sfarno, the unique nature and status of the Kalim of the Mishkan that was built by Moshe with Bezalel is that these Kalim reach the level of Netzach, meaning that they would live and exist eternally. And you might say, well, maybe they exist, but were they conquered by our enemies? Says the Sfarno, V'gamkein lo nafal dover mehem biad ha'ivim. The Klei HaMishkan were never taken over by our enemies. We're going to soon see later on that the Sfarno, in contrast, is going to talk about Binyan Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rishon fell to the hands of the enemies. And maybe they still have the Kalim somewhere, right? We don't know. But in the case of the Mishkan, Netzach means that not only are the Kalim intact physically, but they aren't possessed or conquered by the hands of the Tmeim, of those who would defile those Kalim. You see, in the case of Kalim that were taken by our enemies, and they were conquered, and are possessed by our enemies, we hope to get them back one day. But in the meantime, they've been defiled. You know, we're going to have to subject them to a rededication to purify them. Not so in the case of the Mishkan. In the case of the Mishkan, the Kalim were never taken over by our enemies. Says the Sfarno al Hefach, but in contrast, Hefach means the opposite. Mashakara, what befell Migdash Shlomo v'Kalov, the first Beis HaMigdash, that was the Migdash of Shlomo and its Kalim. Kimivur bechurban by Yisrishon ayidei Nevuzaradon. Nevuzaradon was the head of the armies of, who remembers, Bavel, right, of the Babylonians, and he took over the Migdash and destroyed it. Shaloniskar sham davar miinyone Mishkan Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom. He says, if you take a look,
shame double.
Yes, if you take a look over there in Divrei Hayomim, you will see that although the Tanakh describes and testifies to the taking of the Kalim of the Migdash, but it doesn't mention anything with regard to the Mishkan that was built by Moshe Rabbeinu, because they did not take over those Kalim. I'd love to know where the Kalim are. But maybe you have to be, you know, in a Spielberg movie for that. I don't know. But in any event, the Sfarno says that the Mishkan reaches the level of what? Again, what's the key word here for today? Netzach. What does Netzach mean? Eternal, eternity. And that's why each one of the Kalim, again, had I prepared myself, I would have made myself a tea, so I apologize, my voice is a little bit tea-less today. Okay, so he says that, why does each one of the Kalim get its own specific name? It's called Beshemos, as we saw in the Pasuk here in Bamidbar. Beshemos Hufkedu, Hashem el tifkidu. It's because the word shame indicates what? Netzach. Okay, that's what I need. I need you for the today. You're going to be my my helpers here. Netzach. Now, if we go back to our pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Pkudei, it says Eile Pkudei Hamishkan, and then it says Mishkan. What's the next word? Ha'edus. Okay. Now the Sfarno wants to address what's the significance of Mishkan Ha'edus, and he says the following. Siper Malot Zeham Mishkan. The Torah wants to tell us and notify us, enlighten us, I guess you would say, about the great level of the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shebishvilam Hayaroi Lios Nitzchi. What are these malos? What are the qualities? You see, until now, the Sfarno has presented us with a fact. The handwriting is on the wall. We have in the Mishkan Netzach. But why? I mean, there were other two Mikdashos that were destroyed. They were beautiful Mikdashos, and yet we don't apply the concept of Netzach neither to Binyan Shlomo HaMelech nor to the Binyan of Hurdus and Ezra, time of Ezra and so forth and so on. None of that is described as what? As Netzach. So why was the Mishkan Zoche, if you will, I don't know, that's not a good word, but why did the Mishkan have this unique quality of Netzach, which is reflected in the word Shemos? And the Sfarno offers, I think, four answers to this question. And they're all required. They're four required qualities, boxes that you have to check off. Okay, let's go through them. Shebishvilam, because of these milos, hayaroi lios nitzchi, these kelim and the mishkan will be nitzchi. Shaloi lipol biad oivim, they will not fall into the hands of our enemies. Rishona, the first of the milos. Shahaya Mishkan Ha'edus. The Torah describes here at the beginning of Pkudei that the Mishkan is the Mishkan Ha'edus. Now, Rashi interprets the word Edus, testimony, as referring to the Chet Ha'egel. That the Mishkan itself, because according to Rashi Shita, you remember we discussed this in the past, the Mishkan was given after the Chet Ha'egel as a result of God's offering what? Forgiveness for the sin of the Egel. So that's the Edus LiYisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waived their responsibility and there was an atonement for the Maisa Egel. But the Sfarno has a different pshat. Why is the Mishkan called Mishkan HaEdus? What's the testimony? He has nothing to do with the Maisa Egel. Shahayu Baluchos HaEdus. The word Edus is not haphazard, says the Sfarno. It reflects on another phrase which is used to refer to the Luchos Edus. And by the way, this is not the original pshat of the Sfarno. The Ibn Ezra came way before him. And the Sfarno says that the fact that the Luchos Edus were in the Mishkan, that itself, it was only that quality, would not distinguish the Mishkan. If it was only that Milo that it had the Mishkan Edus, meaning the Luchos Edus, then that would not set up the Mishkan in contrast to what? Again, we want to say the Mishkan of the three was the only one that was Netzach. What do you say, Joel? Where else were the Luchos? Only in the Mishkan?
There were bits of the old one.
No, the new Luchos, the second set of Luchos that were whole, intact, were in the Mishkan. Where else were they? In Beit Rishon, exactly. They were in the first Bais. The Gemara says at the end of the second parak of Yuma that at the time of the Bais Sheni, they didn't have the Luchos. So if the Sfarno's thesis is correct that the Mishkan is eternal by virtue of its having the Luchos Eidus, then why wasn't Shlomo Melech's Bais also eternal? So that's why the Sfarno has to give other qualities, unique qualities that apply to the Mishkan. Shnia, he says. Speak a drop loud.
Please can you remind me of a question?
Again, what we're trying to do is, the Sfarno's goal here is to enlighten us on the following question. What are the milos? How do you say milos? The qualities, right? The special qualities of the Mishkan, as opposed to all the other Batei Mikdashos, that guarantee that the Mishkan is what?
Netzach.
And the first quality he identifies is the luchos ha'edus. Well, that doesn't answer his problem. He's got to beef it up a little bit, because if it's only luchos ha'edus, then the second mikdash, which is the bayis of Shlomo, likewise had the mishkan, had the luchos ha'edus, and yet it was destroyed. So he says the following shnia. And now we go back to our pasuk again, the first pasuk in Parashas Pekudei, and it says, "Asher pukad al pi Moshe." So, what's going to be the second unique, and this is really unique feature or quality of the Mishkan? It was built by Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu does is called what? Netzach, exactly. In fact, in the Bali Kabbalah, you know, had the seven spheros against the seven roim, and the sphere of Moshe Rabbeinu is called the sphere of Netzach. Why? Because Moshe receives what? The Torah. And what is the Torah? Netzach. The Torah is Netzach. In fact, some of the Mefarshim say that Moshe Rabbeinu is responsible for guaranteeing the eternity of Klal Yisrael. First, because he gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, which is Netzach. And secondly, because Moshe Rabbeinu did not enter into Eretz Yisrael. That sounds paradoxical, right? That sounds counterintuitive. I'm telling you that by not entering into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu guaranteed the continuity of Klal Yisrael. What is Moshe Rabbeinu's not going into Eretz Yisrael represent? In one word. Anything that's outside of Eretz Yisrael is in what? In Golus. It's Golus that saves the people of Israel. Because when the people of Israel sinned, God had to make a choice decision. What were the two possibilities?
To destroy
the people, or to send them into Golus. They could not be tolerated by the land of Israel. I mean, that's a whole parashas in Vayikra. The Tochacha says that the land of Israel will vomit us forth. And therefore, we Hashem said, you know what? Let's just destroy the people. No. God sent them into Golus. What was the first Golus that guaranteed that there would be Golus? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come into Israel. It's all to guarantee Netzach. Moshe Rabbeinu is the key to Netzach. But says the Sfarno, this is the Chiddush of Sfarno, Moshe Rabbeinu's relationship to Netzach is not just limited to the Torah, not just limited to the people of Israel, but it also applies to what? The Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu builds the Mishkan, and anything that comes into the grasp of Moshe Rabbeinu, or is a product of Moshe Rabbeinu's handiwork, is Netzach, is going to live eternally. And therefore, we have two qualities that identify the Mishkan as Netzach. Now we get to the third one. Okay, let's go back to our pasuk. It says, Avodas Halevim Biyad Isomar Ben Aaron HaKohen. The Levim, represented by Itamar in this case, who is going to oversee the three breakdowns, the three tributaries or families of Levi, he is the great tzaddik that's going to oversee the protection of the Mishkan. Because again, the Mishkan was what? Was it permanent or was it temporary? No, I'm saying the structure of the Mishkan in its place, in its location, was portable. They call it portable, right? Now, when you move something, what do you make it vulnerable to? By definition. I don't know if you've ever moved. Have you ever moved from one house to the other? And you pay the movers and you pay insurance. But inevitably, what happens?
Damage.
Things get damaged. Things get broken. So the Mishkan was very susceptible, very vulnerable to damage. And who is in charge of making sure that this process of moving the clay on Mishkan from place to place would be guaranteed with success? It was the Levim, like these three families of the Levim, the Gershoni and the Kohasi and the Merari. And who would oversee that whole process? Isomar. Isomar himself was the son of Aaron, and he was in charge of seeing to it that the clay on Mishkan would not be damaged. And number four, Revius. Okay, now let's go on to the second pasuk in Parashas Pekudei. Ubitzalel ben Uri, ben Chur Lamati Yehuda, Asa es Kasha Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Who are we introducing at this stage, at this crossroads? Bezalel, correct. Bezalel, you remember that the pasuk in last week's parsha, if you open up to Shmos Lamed Hey, I want to show you an interesting pasuk about Bezalel. This is pasuk Lamed in the parsha that we read yesterday, and the pasuk says, "Vayomer Moshe b'nei so re'u." Kara Hashem b'shem. Which word do you want to emphasize here in that pasuk? According to Shem. Shem. Again, shame means eternity. B'shem. B'tzal ben Uri ben Chur lemata Yehuda. B'tzal is singled out by name, and the Torah says in pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayimale oso ruach alokim bechachma b'tfuna u'bedas u'bechol malacha. The wisdom of God breaks down into three elements. What are the three components of wisdom of God? Nobody knows? No Chabadnikim here in the room? So what does Chabad stand for? Chachma Bina Midas. That's Bezalel. That's the Ruach Elokim. He's got Chachma, he's got Bina, and he's got Das. And he's going to take these three components and he's going to utilize them to build a Mishkan. Chazal said, they say that he was mitzarif the osios. He knew how to combine the osios that were used by God to create the universe. And by doing so, he was able to create a mishkan, which was netzach, which would be eternal. So we see very clearly that korin oso b'shmo, the fact that re'u kara Hashem, Re'u, what's the pasuk again? Re'u kara Hashem, God called him b'shem. What does that mean, b'shem, according to the Sfarno? Eternity, correct. Netzach. The Torah could have just said that, he was Bezalel ben Uri, or maybe even it would have been enough to say Bezalel, but yet the Torah says Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur, correct? That's like his full name. And then it says Levati Yehuda. They say that some of the what do they call them? The kings of England back in the day when they would sign their names, they would sign their father and their grandfather, their great grandfather. They showed their lineage. The yichus. So the Torah wants to show you the full shame. The full shame is not just Bezalel. You got to know his lineage. Where he comes from. He really traces himself back to Miriam. In any event, this is all the theory of the Sfarno. So let's just summarize. There are four qualities to the Mishkan that guarantee its eternity. Number one, it is created by whom?
Moshe.
Number two, it is created by whom? Bezalel. Number three, it was built with the Luchos HaEdus. In other words, the Shtei Luchos HaBris were there. And finally, the fourth element is that the Levim, under the tutelage and the supervision of Itamar, would guarantee that these kelim would be transported in absolute safety. Says the Sfarno. Look at the next poetic sentence in the Sfarno. B'chein sharsa shechina b'masa yodehem. And as a result of these four qualities, the shechina was shore in the handiwork of these greats, the lo nafal biyad oivim, and it would not fall into the hands of the enemies. In other words, since the Mishkan was created by the tzaddikim of the generation, by Moshe and by Bezalel, and they gave over different chalokim, different parts of the Mishkan to the Levim, therefore the Shechina was shore on the Mishkan. And when this Shechina shore, then even the Oivim, the enemies of the Jewish people, have no power and no control over that which is under the control of the Shekhinah. And therefore the parts of the Mishkan remained intact. That's only as far as the first of the three Batei Mikdashos. But what's the second one? Avol b'Migdash Shlomo. Now who created Migdash Shlomo? There were some nice Jewish people, as the Tanakh testifies in Sefer Melachim. Shahayu Ovdei Hamalacha Bo Mitzur. Tzur is up in the north in Lebanon today. And the pasuk, I'll read to you the pasuk in Malachim, which you don't, I don't think you have on your page. It says, Vayishlach Hamelech Shlomo, Vayikach Eschirem Mitzur, Vi'aviv Ish Tzuri Choresh Nechoshes, Vayimale Es HaChochma, Vesatvuna Vesadas, Lasus Komalacha Benechoshes, Vayavo El Hamelech Shlomo Vayasus Komalachto. This individual who came from Tzur, he was called Chet Yud Reish Mem, Chiram. He was brought, he was, drafted by Shlomo Hamelech because he was full of Chachma, Tvuna, and Das. Right, he had all the elements necessary of human wisdom, that's divine wisdom, to do the malacha. And Rashi says on the pasuk in Malachim Aleph pasuk Perek Zayin pasuk Yud Gimel, Rashi says, "Vayimale es hachochma ves hatfuna ves hadas shlosha kli umnus sha'olam nivra behem." These are the three powers or agents with which the world was created. Shenemar bechachma yasad oretz. Konein shamayim bitvuna bidato tahomos nivku. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. And bishloshtam nivna bais. The bais of Shlomo Melch was built with chachma, with tvuna and das. All the three elements, Rashi says, which are necessary to create the entire universe. And the Radak goes even a step further. He says, yodea lasos bizav bekesef and choshes bebarzel. He says that the umnus of this individual was so great that he was an expert in all the different metals, metalwork, and he was the perfect choice to build the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo Melech. So it comes out that if you describe the people who were employed to work in the Mikdash of Shlomo, to build the Mikdash of Shlomo, in contrast to the way the Sfarno describes those people who were employed in the work of building the Mishkan, in the case of the Mikdash of Shlomo HaMelech, these are called Ovdei Melacha. They are workers. They come from Tzur and they're experts in their field. They're craftsmen and artisans. But here, in the case of the Mishkan, says the Sfarno, who were those who created the Mishkan? They were the Tzadikim Shebedar. They're not just called Osei HaMelacha or Ovdei HaMelacha, but rather they're called Tzadikei Hadar. And that's fascinating. Says the Sfarno, Afal Pisha Sharsa Boshchina, even though there was an element of Hashras Hashchina, certainly in the Migdash of Shlomo HaMelech, but nevertheless, unfortunately, Nifsidu Chelkov. In other words, there was a general kind of Shchina in the Migdash, but it didn't impact on the particular Kalim that were created for the Migdash of Shlomo HaMelech. In other words, even though Chiram was blessed and endowed with all the necessary requirements or shall we say the talents that are necessary to build the Migdash, but nevertheless there's a contrast between his Migdash, which had a Hashras Hashchina Beofen Klali in general, to that which was created by Moshe and Bezalel. Moshe and Bezalel were able to bring Hashras Hashchina down not just on the Mishkan in general, but on each one of the specific Kalim.
Sorry, Rabbi.
Yes, go ahead. And then he says, now he gets on to discuss the Mikdash of Shlomo. He says, "V'hutzrach lachazek es bedek habayis," and there was always a requirement to strengthen the building, the Mikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. Correct. And nafal basof hakol biad oivim. And therefore the Migdash of Shlomo HaMelech would fall into the hands of the Babylonians because there was not that level of Hashras Hashchina that we spoke about with regard to the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Avol Bayis Sheni, now we get up to the second Beis HaMikdash. Shelo Hayu Bo Echad Mikol Eilat Noyim. In the case of the building of the second bayis, we don't find any of the conditions, any of the qualities, the milos, the four milos that we discussed before. There wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, and there wasn't Bezalel, and there weren't Tzadikei Adar, and there wasn't the Avodas HaLeviim that we spoke about. There was no Mishkan HaEdus. He says, V'nofal, he says, Lo Sharsa Bo Shechina. In other words, the Shechina was lacking. Not only was Netzach lacking, but even the Shechina was lacking. So we have three Batei Mikdashos. Let's go from the bottom to the top. We're going backwards chronologically. The third Beis HaMikdash didn't have Hashras HaShechina. And the first Beis HaMikdash, although it had Hashras HaShechina, but didn't have Netzach. There was only one Beis HaMikdash which had both Hashras HaShechina and Netzach, and that's what?
Mishkan.
The Mishkan. Ki omnam bebay sheni lohaya mishkan eidus shelohaya bo luchos eidus. There were no luchos in the second bayis. You know, Shlomo Melch built underneath the bayis sheni a tunnel, and there he hid, not he himself, but later on at the end of the 410 years of the mikdash, they hid the luchos eidus. Right, the lost ark, as we call it. V'lo pukad ki'im al pi karash. And who is the one who supervised the building of the Beis HaMikdash at the time of Ezra? It was Korash. He was not from the greats, if you know what I mean. So whereas in the case of the Mishkan, as the Torah testifies here at the beginning of our parasha, the first pasuk in Parashat Pekudei, Asher pukad al pi Moshe, in sharp contrast, we could say about the Mikdash Sheni that it was pukad biyad Korash. And v'lohaya sham b'nei Levi. Where was Itamar, who was to oversee Gershon and Merari? Where was Eliezer, who would be in charge of supervising Kahas? Kamo shehayed Ezra b'yomro, and Ezra himself testifies in the book of Ezra, Va'avina ba'avu v'kanim u'bibnei Levi lo matzasi sham. He had to rely on the people. He had to introduce the Kohanim to do the work of the Leviim because he couldn't find Leviim. We know that at the time of Ezra, there was a very small group of Jews who came to join him in Eretz Yisrael. U'min ha'mis'askim b'binyano, and those who were included under the employment of people who were working to build the Mikdash Sheni were the Tzidonim and the Tzurim. These were Jews from Tzidon and Tzur, different places in the north, and there was no one in charge of their work who could be described as Chunan b'chochma b'tvuna v'das k'mevur b'sefer Ezra. In other words, the four elements that have been enumerated by the Sfarno that guarantee Netzach and Hashras HaShechina are all completely lacking. What's the word I want to use? They're all
deficient,
missing. Okay, for back of a better word, and therefore even the Hashras HaShechina is not there, let alone Netzach.
Wow!
So this is amazing. And the Sfarno now says the following, that Ubishemos Tifkidu, as we said before, this is a reference to the Shemos of each one of the Kalim in the Mishkan, which were endowed with Netzach. And I think we can now begin to appreciate the Sfarno at the beginning of the book of Shmos. The Torah says, "V'eilas Shmos b'nei Yisrael haboyim Mitzrayim." That's the name of our book, right? Eilas Shmos b'nei Yisrael. And again, the word Shemos. And there's a Kal v'chomer here. If an inanimate object like a kli, like a utensil, is given the name Shem, which testifies to its netzach, how much more so in the case of an animate of a human being who is created b'tzelem Elokim, if he is granted Shemos, how great significance he is, and how much netzach there is. And let's look at the Sfarno at the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Eilu Shmos b'nei Yisrael b'nei Mitzrayim ha'nizkarim kan, those who are mentioned by name here at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, hayu ru'uyim lihivada b'shem, It doesn't say Ela Bnei Yisrael or Vayu Bnei Yisrael Aboy Mitzrayim. Right? That's not what it says. What it says is Ela Shmos Bnei Yisrael, not Bnei Yisrael, but Shmos Bnei Yisrael. Why the extra Shmos? The Torah doesn't just give us the final number, you know, the 70 nefashos that go down to Mitzrayim, but rather the Torah names them. It doesn't just say Vayhi Kol Nefesh. Right? It says the Shmos. So let's take a look now at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, and we'll see the names of Bnei Yisrael. These are names that already were given to us in Parshas Vayigash, back in Sefer Bereishis, Ve'el Shmos Bnei Yisrael. And then it says, after giving the names of the Shvat, it says, Vayhi kol nefesh, yotzei yach Yaakov shivim nefesh. Ki kol echad, says the Sfarno, ki kol echad meyem roi lios nechshav ish al shmo. Each one of these individuals deserves to be called by a specific name. And why is that? Not just to identify the person, but that to establish the impact for all of eternity of these individuals on the history of Klal Yisrael. How Moreh, the shame, is going to reveal al tsuraso ha'ishiyit, on the individual tsura. The tsura means the eternal spiritual, shall we say, personality. What do you say?
Yeah, identity.
Identity of the person. And that's why it says shame. Kol yemei chayeyem hayu lema'oros. As long as they were alive, they were lights, not only for themselves, because if it was only for themselves, that would not project Netzach, but rather they were lights to illuminate others and have an impact on others. V'lo yotza hador l'tarbus ra, and that's why they raised children who are dedicated and loyal to the cause. Omnom, however, achre mosom, once we got to the next generation after them, lo hayu atzadikim shebibneim. When we talk about the tzaddik, we're talking about a person who can have an impact for all generations to come. However, in the next generation, after the first generation of Bnei Yaakov, they weren't so chashuv in the eyes of God and man. And therefore, after the names of the Yud Beis Shvatim are enumerated and specifically mentioned, then it says in the pasuk, as we saw before, called Nefesh Yotze Yerech Yaakov. Nefesh Yotze Yaakov. It doesn't say Shemos Yerech Yotze Yaakov. The word Shemos is omitted. And why is that? Because once the Shvatim died out, the Shvatim were worthy of being called Shemos. Now there's already a lower level. You know, we're going down to a whole different entity, qualitatively different, and therefore it's no longer Shemos. And that's what the Sfarno says. Now what I'd like to show you, if you have the page I gave out, there's a paragraph here from the Sefer called the Shuto Shel Mikra that I was able to photocopy for you. And just to summarize a very brilliant insight, he says that if you take a look in Perek Dalid of Sefer Bamidbar, which the Sfarno had mentioned earlier, you will see something very interesting. He says that the Pasuk says, when it's talking about Mishpachosam Lebeis Avosam of the Shvatim, it says, Bnei Ruvain Bechar Yisrael. Do you see that? Bnei Ruvain Bechar Yisrael. I wrote it down, but of course I don't have it in front of me. No, it's somewhere else, but I apologize. You know, I'm coming straight from my home here in the neighborhood, so I slept there last night. Usually I come from Har Nof, and then it's a lot easier for me to look up all the psukim for you, so I'll get that for you later. In any event, let's just trust him for a moment, okay? That he's not making up psukim. And he says here, Bnei Ruvain Bechar Yisrael, correct? It doesn't say, V'eilish Shmos Bnei Ruvain. Because again, here, the Torah is counting the children of Reuven, not Reuven himself. The children of Reuven, as great as they may have been, but they don't deserve the appellation Shmos B'nai Reuven. They don't get Shmos B'nai Reuven. Because that generation doesn't deserve the Madrega of shame. Why? As we saw in the Sfarno just a minute ago at the beginning of Shmos, Lo hayu atzadikim shevibneihem kol kach hashuvim v'yein el kivyonah. And then when we get to Shimon, it says B'nai Shimon. It doesn't say Shmos B'nai Shimon. In other words, when we talk about Reuven and Shimon, we talk about B'nai Reuven, B'nai Shimon, but we don't talk about Shemos B'nai Reuven, B'nai Shimon. Now he says something amazing. Who's the third of the Shvatim? Who comes after Reuven and Shimon, Rav Osai? Levi. Now look what it says in the pasuk with regard to Levi. V'yela Shmos B'nai Levi, we told also. All of a sudden, Boker Tov, the Torah reminds itself to mention Shemos. Why didn't it mention the word Shemos when it got to Reuven and to Shimon? The Torah delineates all the names of the Mishpachas of Reuven, the Chanochi, and so forth and so on, and the names of the Shimon, of the Bnei Shimon, the Chetzon, and all that. And then it gets to Levi, and all of a sudden it says Shmos Bnei Levi. Gershon, Kohas, Umarari. And according to the Sfarno, it's very beautiful. The Sfarno doesn't point this out. This would have been a tremendous raya to the Mechazik, the words of the Sfarno. When it comes to Bnei Levi, we have a whole different description of the Bnei Levi. We're going now to the next generation. And yet they are called Shemos Bnei Levi. And this all makes sense in the light of the Rambam. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Avodas Kochavim says, Yaakov Avinu Limei Banav Kula. Yaakov Avinu was the Rosh Hashiva, which had 12 students in it, all of the Bnei Yaakov. But Hivdil Shevet Levi. But amongst all his students, all his sons, he singled out one of them. Who was that? Levi. Umino Rosh. He became the Rosh Hashiva to take over after Yaakov Avinu. V'hoshivo b'yeshiva l'lame derech Hashem v'lishmar mitzvos Avram. So again, the process of transmission of the Torah and the mitzvahs begins with whom? Avram Avinu. From Avram it goes down to Yitzhak. From Yitzhak to Yaakov. Who's next in line? Who's going to transmit the Torah after Yaakov? Levi. Levi himself is going to be the Rosh Hashiva. Now, you might ask me, did Levi succeed? You know, some Rosh Hashivas are good, and they have students and disciples. Others, knapper. Did Levi have students? So the Rambam writes, Shevet Levi Omad b'mitzvas ha'avos. He says that Shevet Levi was the bastion of the observance of the mitzvahs. Ume olam lo avad Shevet Levi avodah zarah. Could you imagine, generations to come, there are going to be tests and trials, there's going to be the Chet Egel and other trials, and the Bnei Levi are always loyal and dedicated to the Mitzvah Hashem, because they were the Rosh Yeshiva, they were the ones that the Rambam heaps praise on, because they represent the Shemos Bnei Levi, and generation after generation, they will have an impact. And in the generation after Levi himself, there'll be Gershon, Kohos, Umarari. Each one is considered Shemos. He's considered Ish al Shmo, Hamor al Tzuroso Aishius, in the language of the Sfarno, the identity, the special identity, Lenetzach, of these individuals. And finally, if you turn the page, you may have another Sfarno. I don't know if it's on your page or not. I meant to put it on the page. It's in Parshas Vayigash, which is the first time that the names of the children of Yaakov are named or enumerated, and there the Sfarno writes Haru'uyim Haru'uyim Bechol Eile. In other words, amongst the 70 nefashos that go down to Mitzrayim that are counted, who are the Re'uyim? Who are the most outstanding? She anechshav kol echem mehem v'noda b'shem ish, and they have the status of an ish. Heim Yaakov ubono bilvad ka'omor v'nosa aron eshmosam l'fnei Hashem. In other words, these 12 Shvatim, whose names are mentioned in Parshas Vayigash, it says, V'elish Mos B'nei Yisrael Aboy Mitzrayim, Yaakov Ubonov, Bechar Yaakov Reuven, etc., etc. Those are the ones who get names. And why do they get names? Because they are, in the language of the Sfarno, Nechshav, Kol Echemeh, Mizachshivus, they are the significant ones, they are the creators and the mentors of Klal Yisrael, Noda B'Shem Ish, and that's why later on in Parshas Truma it says, V'nasa Aaron Shmosam Lifnei Hashem, again the word Shmosam, right, this is referring to the breastplate, and how many different names were there on Aaron's breastplate? 12, connected to 12 Shvatim, that's called Shmosam. The other Shivim Nefesh, the balance of the 70, they were tzaddikim, but they didn't reach that madrega of Shmosam to have the Shemos. And therefore, when we get to the Mishkan and its Kalim, which are guaranteed to have the signature, so to speak, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu reflects on what? Netzach. And he signs off on the Kalim and on the Mishkan, and identifies them as Shemos. Each one has its own shame. And that is going to be the revelation or the indication of the Nitzchius, the absolute eternity of the various Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. I just want to... Permanence, eternity, I meant to say. So I just want to ask you one last question. Remember we had a pasuk, Atze Shitim Omdim. And the Gemara in Yuma says, Omdim li'olam uli'olme olam. We only find that with regard to the Mishkan, with regard to the Batei Mikdashos. We don't find with regard to Shlomo HaMelech, even though it stood for 410 years until it was destroyed. We don't find Atzei Shitim Omdim, Omdim li'olam uli'olme olam. And why is this? Because it's going to be destroyed. The phrase Atze Shitim Omdim, Omdim Liole Avlom, could not apply not to the Mikdash of Shlomo and certainly not to the Mikdash of Ezra. Why? Because the Mikdash of Shlomo will be destroyed. And it's very interesting. Who built the second Mikdash? I mean, who built, when I say second, I mean after the Mishkan?
Ezra.
No, I'm saying the second after the Mishkan. Who built the second Mikdash of the three? It was Shlomo. Who was that? Who was in such great pain and anguish over the fact that he wouldn't build the Beis HaMikdash? David. So it's interesting. The Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash says, in based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, Ha'ata Tivni Li Bayis, that David HaMelech asks, why can't I build the Bayis? And Hashem says to him, Ki Domim Rabim Shafachta. And David HaMelech got very frightened. He was overwhelmed with fear. Omar, nifsalti mi livnos beis hamikdash? Because I went out to battle against the enemies of the Jewish people, therefore I'm disqualified from building the beis hamikdash. Omar lo kud shebrichu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following to David HaMelech. You know what? You deserve to build the beis hamikdash. And David says, Lama eini bono, so why can't I build it? Amalak Hashbarku. Imata bono oso. If you, David HaMelech, your great level, will build it. Rabosai, can we guess what the Medrash is going to say now? Netzach. It will never be destroyed. Hareu kayom v'yeno charev. It would be like the Mikdash of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it would never be destroyed. So David turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hare Yofeh. Stuck Yishmak, that's great. I know that down the line, Bnei Yisrael Asidim Lachto. Again, you have the old question of Bechira and Yediya. You know, if God knows, then where's the freedom of choice? But God already knows that Bnei Yisrael will not be worthy of the Beis HaMikdash. Vani mafik chamasi bo machrivan. The only way I will save Bnei Yisrael from destruction is by destroying the Mikdash. V'hem nitzolim. I will take my anger out against the stones of the Beis HaMikdash and I'll destroy it. Shekein ksiv. The pasuk says in Eicha, be'ol bas tzion shafach keish chamaso. That God let out His anger, the fire of His anger on the Beis HaMikdash. But Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to David HaMelchayecha, Hoil v'chashavta livnoso, you really desire tremendously to build it. Afal pisha Shlomo bincha boneu l'shimcha nikosvo, it will be called on your name. Shenemar mizmor shir chanukas habayis l'David, it's the bayis l'David. You know, it's David had a tremendous desire, but Hashem couldn't allow David to build the Beis HaMikdash, because if David would build the Beis HaMikdash, say Chazal in this Medrash, it would never be destroyed. And who knew this secret? Shlomo HaMelech knew the secret. How do I know that Shlomo knew the secret that HaKadosh Baruch would eventually destroy the Mikdash? Says the Rabbi at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBachir, B'eis shebana Shlomo HaBayis Yada shesofo licharev. Shlomo knew that he didn't have the level of tzidkus of his father David, and the Mikdash would be destroyed. Bana bo makom lignos bar aron lamata, and he already created a place underneath the ground where the aron would be hidden at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. So we have now, Rabbosai, two different concepts. We have a concept of Lidoros, so there'll be a Beis HaMikdash for generations to come. There'll be the generation of Shlomo HaMelech for 4 centuries plus, and then from Ezra 4 centuries plus. But that's only Lidoros. That doesn't have Netzach. Those Batei Mikdashos will be destroyed. And therefore the Sforno says, I'll read to you the language of the Sforno here, in Parshas Vayakel, Parshas Pekudei, Shmos Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chav Dalet, right? That's what we started with today. Lamed Ches Chav Dalet, and it says there, Kol Hazav HaOsi LeMelacha. Now let me ask you a question. The Torah delineates the weight and the volume of the various precious stones like Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes that we used in the Mishkan. It's very impressive. Is it not? Yeah. Not impressive at all. Because Shlomo's bias will have much, much more gold. The Sforno says, Hey, it al kitzvas azov, a kitzvah nechozesh, shenichnus amlechas hamishkan, shahaya dover muat miod. The Torah is telling you the weights of the gold and the precious stones in the Mishkan to tell you that it was very limited. Be erech in comparison, ala osha shahaya v'bayis rishon. And he goes through Psukim here in Tanakh to describe the wealth and the beauty of the precious stones and metals that were used in the building of Shlomo Melech's Bayis. The Yoser Mizeh, and the greatest wealth, was built by Hurdus. The Imkol Zeh, Yoser HaTamid, where is going to be the Tmidus? What's Tmidus?
Permanence.
The permanence. Marek vod Hashem b'mishkan shel Moshe. The permanence of Hashem and the glory of God in the Mishkan of Moshe is that much greater mimasha yatomid b'migdash harishon v'lo nira klal b'migdash hasheni. Notice there was no ashras hashchina in the second migdash, which is really the third migdash, right? Okay, who can write the next line in the Svarno? Why does the Torah want to tell us that relative to the other Batei Mikdashos, the gold and the silver was cautious? No, there's no word. I just invented a word in English. Was limited. Why did the Torah want to tell us that? Wouldn't you have expected that the gold and silver, etc., would be that much more glamorous and glittering in the first place? Something that's meaning the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why not? Because you don't judge the Mikdash and its greatness by what? By gold and silver. Says the Sfaru, Bazeh Hora, the Torah is teaching us here at the beginning of Pekudei. Shelo kitzvas ha'osher v'godol ha'binyon. It's not the great wealth and the fantastic giant structure. She yasiba l'ashroas ha'shchina v'yisrael. That's not what brings Shchina to Klal Yisrael. But rather, Rotz Hashem es Yireyav. God wants those who fear Him, umaseihem l'shichno v'socham, to be mashre shchina. The Mishkan is the madrega of Netzach, in contrast to the Batei Mikdashos that are only lidoros for generations; they're not eternal. And not only that, the reason for that is because the Ashras Hashchin in the Mishkan is Anan Hashem ala Mishkan Yomam, the Torah says. This is at the end of Parshas Pekudei. The Torah says that the Anan Hashem represents what? The Shekhinah, correct? Is constant over the Mishkan. In contrast, with regard to Lidoros, to the Bati Mikdashos, there the Torah says in Parshas Achrimos, it says, Ki ba'anan, a royal akapores, Chazal say anan, in this case is once a year. What day of the year was the anan seen in the Beis HaMikdash of the Kodesh Kadoshim? Yom Kippur. In other words, the Mishkan was a daily Yom Kippur. The Madrega of Ashros Ashchina in the other Bati Mikdashos that existed once a year when the Kohen Gadol would go Lifnai V'Lifnim, and the Pasuk says Ba'anan Eirah Alakaporis, that anan was daily, was constant in the Mishkan of Shlomo. And finally, there'll be a Beis HaMikdash that supersedes even that of Shlomo HaMelech. Which Beis HaMikdash is that going to be? Exactly, the Bayis Shlishi, Tale, Al-Zu, on the Shros HaShchina, and the Netzach of the Mishkan. And why? Because it's going to be the ultimate, permanent, eternal building. And it'll be the Beis HaMikdash Liyasid Lavo, and that's the Mikdash that we wait for and we pray for on a constant basis. I didn't get a chance to read the Sfarno's language at the end of Sefer Shmos. He writes, Kol kach hoysa shriyas ha-mishkan ha-shchino keva ha-mishkan shalo yomistali klal. And he says, Zelo ha-yelo b'shilo v'lo b'vayis rishon v'lo b'vayis sheni v'al yosem mizeh, but a greater shchino. This is back in the Sfarno's time, he writes it. Ki Amro, and he proves it from a pasuk at the end of the Tanakh. It says in Sefer Zechariah Novi, Perk Beis, Vani Eyela, Niyum Hashem, Chomas Eish Soviv, Ulechvod Eye Besocha. I will be there, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the Bayis HaShlishi, the Kedushas Bayis HaShlishi will be the greatest Kedusha of them all. And not only that, there was a special din in the Mishkan. I think we discussed this a few weeks ago, that in the Mishkan, Aaron HaKohen could go into the Kodesh Kadoshim whenever he so wanted. He didn't have to wait till Yom HaKippurim. What he would do is, he would do the entire process of the avoda that's delineated in Achrimos of Yom HaKippurim, and any day of the year he could go in lifnai v'lifnim to the Kodesh Kadoshim. And that's true for all generations, but only with regard to a specific period of time when there's the anan, when there's the Ashras HaShchina. So in other words, during the period of time of the 8 centuries, how many centuries were the... that's 410 and 420, the 830 years of the two Bate Mikdashos, the Kohen Gadol could only go Lifnai V'Lifnim one day of the year. That was on Yom HaKippurim. But the halach of Aaron HaKohen, that he could go in any day of the year Lifnai V'Lifnim in the Mishkan, that halach will be reinstated at the time of Bayit Shlishi. And at the time of Bayit Shlishi, again, we'll have that Netzach. So it comes out that what was given at the time of the Mishkan, the permission, the license for Aaron HaKohen to enter into the Kodesh Kadosh whenever he's so pleased, that was Lishah. As far as Lidoros is concerned, they would not be able to go in except once in the year. But it's, you know, you might ask the question, so if it's only Lishah, why did the Torah have to tell us that Aaron could go in on any day of the year? I mean, it's not relevant. Why does the Torah have to notify us of that? The answer is, it's very relevant. It's relevant to the Bayit Shlishi that will also have, like the Mishkan, the element of Netzach, even greater, superseding that of the Mishkan of Moshe. And therefore, the halacha that Aaron, as the Kohen Gadol, could go in any day of the year into the Kodesh Kadosh, whenever he's so pleased, that halacha will be reinstated L'Netzach. So there's L'Shah, and then there's L'Netzach. In between L'Shah and L'Netzach, meaning in between the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, we have what's called Lidoros, and that's the period of the 830 years of the two Batei Mikdashos. So what we're hoping for is that the Lishah that was given to Aaron, that every day of the year there was an Anan, and there was Ashuas Hashchina so intensively that he could go into the Kodesh Kadosh, and that should be reinstated at the time of the Bayis Shlishi, Lenetzach, Pimheir of Yameinu, Amen.
So,
what's the Bayit Shlishi is
even higher state than the Mishkan, because of when you say
Netzach,
it will have a physical Netzach as well.
Right, correct.
Is it from that point of view?
I think so. I think that's what he's saying over here. But it's fascinating. You know, we now have three concepts. Just to review, we have what's called the Shah, which is something that's just given for a moment. Then we have Lidoros, that's given for all generations. And then we have something called Netzach. And the connection here is between Shah and Netzach. And in the middle, we have Lidoros. And what is the connecting factor between Lashah of the Mishkan and Lenetzach of the Bayis Shlishi? Is the halacha that that Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol, is allowed to go in Lifnai V'Lifnim any day of the year. And why is that so? Why was it that Aaron HaKohen was allowed in the Mishkan to go in any day of the year, and ultimately at the time of the Bayis Shlishi, the Kohen Gadol will be able to go in any of the year? And the answer lies here in Shmos Perek Mem, Pasuk Lamed Ches, in our Parsha, at the end of the Chumash Shmos, where it says, Ki anan Hashem al Mishkan HaMishkan Yomam. The word Yomam means constant. The Anan Hashem means the Shekhinah was there and was present in the Mishkan Yomam constantly. And therefore, whenever the Kohen Gadol, in this case Aaron HaKohen, wanted to go in to the Lifnai V'Lifnim, to the Kodesh Kadoshim, it would be Ki Ba'anan, a royal alaktoris, and he could go in to the Anan, you know, to the Ashuas HaShekhinah that was present in the Mishkan on a constant basis. Okay, Rabbi Osama, I'm going to stop here and...